Please plug me in.
Please help me.
Please plug me in. Please help me. Please plug me in.
Welcome to Absurdia.
Welcome to Absurdia, your local podcast.
Your local podcast.
You'll be here with me, Kay, and my fellow felon G, as we return to another music episode. This time we go back to the 90s, to the decade G and I met, to discuss the band we founded, and to recall the gigs we played,
and unravel the shit we saw.
We also revisit 80s hair metal, 70s toys, and six different ways to cooperate if you want to keep your kneecaps.
But first, we spit some truth.
This is Absurdia News. Air Absurdia is tightening its fiscal belt in the economic downturn. After introducing standing room only ticketing, in-flight pay toilets, and priority pushing people out of your way, the airline is now pursuing revenue by cutting overhead, charging passengers an access fee to the overhead oxygen masks and turning off oxygen at altitude. The ABC asked Air Absurdia for comment, but was told not to hold its breath. Thank you, Max. Following in the path of private ventures Astrobiotic and Intuitive Machines, Canadian firm LunarTunes has been the first private company to successfully land a vehicle on the moon. Shortly after touchdown, a message was received from the lander. Please send air. No further contact could be established with the crew. Gravity is not going down well. Anti-gravity is causing bemusement at the Gravityland amusement park. Grasping the situation of the gravity is field reporter Comfort Cripes.
The group calling itself the Anti-Gravity Reaction has been protesting outside the Gravityland amusement park in Absurdia, claiming gravity isn't real.
This black hole scare is bullshit. The flat earth has just opened our eyes. Once you realize gravity is a lie too, there's no end to the science you can disregard. People forget that scientists are people too. So they're just as bad as everyone else, and all they want is power. And they know that you can't be voted out of science.
Why are you talking in squeaky helium?
We believe that helium is the only truly noble gas, and is humanity's means to rise above the gravity lie.
So what are you demanding?
Cheaper air tickets.
Following the weeks-long so-called Seven Samurai rain and the concurrent disappearance of the sun, it has begun raining black oil in Absurdia. Meteorologists are bedeviled. The price of crude dropped 30% overnight as the Fuck You Four were reported to be suing their former partner. The time is...
1, 2...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to need something like a script or something to go on. We're going to be talking today... Today, K and G are going to be discussing what is on the show ahead, the origin of Los Furios.
Holy.
Well, it's because you do all the mumbling. All of your mumbling, Mushmouth, gives me the shits.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mush in the Morning with Enunciations. Yeah, welcome back to the Enunciation
Hour. So they know what points they need to hit. Like professional...
They're called professionals. We are not professionals.
I'm not really a radio announcer type dude.
Well, I am. Luckily, I am a radio announcer. And welcome back to episode 437 of Absurdia, where we talk music all morning long.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get back.
Well, and this is me, and we're back with K and G.
Get on it, dude. Back.
We got we are talking today about the origin of Kay's band.
Yeah, I was in a band. I'm still in the band. Band won't break up. We've tried. We try and we try. And it just will not break up. So, yeah, it's like an indestructible, long-term, dysfunctional relationship. It's like that Mr. Stretch.
Stretch Armstrong, 1976, by Kenner.
So is that the name of the band then, Mr. Stretch?
It should have been, because nobody can say Los Furios. So Mr. Stretch would have been a lot better idea.
Yeah.
That's not even in grammatically correct Spanish. It's like
but
the
that's
whole...
the beauty of it. That was the error. The error was the beauty of it. And what have you gone on to do?
Not much. No, I did this podcast. I did a season of it.
You did this?
Pretty
you
well.
Went on to do this. Congratulations.
Could have been a lawyer, a doctor, a seamstress. Could have been anything. And this is who you are.
And then you put out an album.
Yeah. So, yep, we put out an album. A whole new album. Old Ghosts, it's called.
Not interested. We also revisit our business segment, None of Your Business. Revisiting 1980s toy titan, Coleco.
Are you drunk? Want pizza now? Pizza now. Pizza now.
$99. New from Jajuice, the Double Juicy Juice Company. Organ juice by Jajuice. Kidney flavor, spleen flavor, liver, pancreas, stomach flavor.
Jajuice.
And still in regular bladder flavor.
Mom, can I have some organ juice?
Give me a K, and G,
and
an X in the
on
air.
The ground.
That spells traffic.
Our man G is on the scene with the traffic report. G, where are you?
I'm out here on the street to get the voice of the people, K, asking drivers for first-hand reports on what traffic conditions you at home can expect on the roads today.
You don't sound like you're on the street.
Well, figuratively speaking, of course, I'm down here in the underground parking garage beneath the building where Absurdia City Studios can be found because it's raining out, asking drivers what their actual experiences were on the roads this morning. Excuse me, sir, can I ask you a question?
No, fuck off.
Excuse me, ma'am, how was the traffic this morning?
Oh, it wasn't bad. Fine. There were some headless bodies of leaf blowers on the road. And there was some roadworks in Purplesea.
Roadworks?
Before you get on the artery. Well, the artery was actually obstructed.
Traffic was backed up?
Yeah, around the exit to Therby instead. I turned off there. I think it was leaf blower bodies. Why hasn't the autonomy cleared them? They should be moving these leaf blowers as soon as they appear. All week traffic has been blocked by headless bodies. I pay my taxes. We pay for services in Absurdia. People need to get to work.
I see. And how was the traffic once you arrived?
Here?
Yes.
Oh, well, it was fine.
Were you able to find a parking space?
Well, not on the first level. I had to go around.
And did you have to go around a lot?
No, just once.
I see. Well, there you have it, folks. The serial killer stalking landscapers in Absurdia, who has come to be known as the Butcher of Husqvarna, sometimes called the Leafblower Punisher, also known as the Pound of Flesh Exactor, the Garden Enforcer, the Tool Fixer, the Peace and Quiet Corps, the Hero of the Home Front, and the Guardian of Fucking Silence, has been leaving headless leafblower hosts around town faster than the authority is able to clear them, and now it's affecting your commute time.
Artery 6 is obstructed by piles of rotting bodies, and traffic there is backed up as far as the eye can seem.
As far as the eye can seem?
That's it for the traffic in Absurdia, Kay. Folks at home, plan your route accordingly. If you can't avoid Artery 6 and you're in a hurry this morning, be prepared to drag bodies off the road yourselves. Perhaps pack some rubber gloves from the kitchen? If you're already on the road and you don't have any gloves, look in the back seat. Wearing McDonald's bags on your hands can do in a pinch. On the upside, it does appear easier to find a parking space downtown at the moment. Back to you, Kay.
And in related news, a homeowners association in Absurdia, calling itself Stop the Spoilage, has been lobbying local government to supply neighborhood garbage skips for decapitated leaf blowers.
We'll be right back with None of Your Business.
Kenjiko Lab, makers of all kinds of helpful products to make your life easier. We made the DVD player that reads goodbye when you turn it off, and the microwave that says done, enjoy your meal. We make the talking washing machine that calls out, the wash cycle has finished. I like your taste in shirts. And we invented the computer that confirms everything.
Everything.
Everything. We insert ourselves into everything you didn't ask to be helped with, so you never even know we're doing anything. It's all you just taking it easy. You're busy living your best life, so we get busy managing the details. There's karaoke sonic toothbrush. Mirror, mirror.
Check out that ass. You're gonna kill tonight.
Talkie Tyler.
It looks clean to me.
And many more.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
We do it all, and we do it all for you.
Kenjiko Lab. We don't get in the way. We are the way.
Pizza. Now.
New from Jujuice, the double juicy juice company. Organ juice. Bye. Jujuice. Kidney flavor, spleen flavor, liver, pancreas, stomach flavor. Just. And still, in regular bladder flavor.
Your business.
Okay, listeners, this is where I would normally be the one to tell you what we're doing next, because G isn't at his microphone, but because in the script G reads the introduction to the next segment, I am bound by the threat of G's ego melting down to instead fill the dead air with jibber jabber.
I'm coming.
Until he can retake his position at the mic and tell you what it is that we've all been patiently waiting to listen to.
So good of you to hold the listener's attention there, Kay, with your riveting documentary narrative. You really are a professional on the air.
And so we return this episode to our regular professional segment, None of Your Business, to discuss the legendary toy company Coleco. Its rise from a small leather goods manufacturer to become rubber footwear Goliath, sometime wading pool potentate, and children's toy titan that produced hits like Electronic Quarterback and the Coleco Atom home computer in 1983 that was so successful it bankrupted the company's...
Ah, Coleco. I had a ColecoVision when I was a kid.
ColecoVision rocked.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, ColecoVision, I loved it. Classic. From the makers of snowmobiles and manufacturer of shoe shine stands, you know, Coleco's secret, never say no to anything.
I can just imagine legendary Coleco chairman, Uncle Hammy Sapwooster, delivering his famous diversification speech in the boardroom on the top floor of 111 Connecticut Avenue Boulevard, Fella Rocker Plaza building and kebab stand. New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the time the Connecticut Leather Company began supplying cobblers with shoe findings in 1932, we were able to leverage our success with sales of leather craft kits to do swimmingly in swimming pools before skidding into snowmobiles, not so great with no snow, but no idea is a bad one, and then playing our hand at video game consoles. The ColecoVision sold so many units, it financed the 50th anniversary idea of the Connecticut Leather Company and best idea yet, plushy dolls. We did so well with Cabbage Patch Kids, we bought the rights to Parcheesi. Parcheesi, ladies and gentlemen. And then Alf, the alien life form puppet dog, kind of did a turd in the toy stores, but ain't that what dogs do? Stand-up comic alien dogs. Well, we did terrifically great last quarter in Pig Hearts, and that was just such a terrific idea, and we're looking for some new ones equally terrific. Okay, now, any ideas? What should we do next year? Speak up. There are no wrong answers. I want to hear from all of you.
Kayaks!
Great!
Breakfast cereal!
Terrific!
Mosquito repellent!
Yes!
Ping!
Ping? What's Ping?
Well, Atari made Pong. Atari's our competition. Ping is Coleco's response to Pong.
You mean that crap Atari put out that hits that ball off into darkness off the left side of the screen? Why are we doing that idea?
Because we're sending it back.
I like that idea.
Send it back.
Ping, by Coleco, send it back.
Oh, man. I've been standing this queue for 15 minutes and it's barely moved.
Yeah, no, it's great, isn't it?
What? What are you talking about? I want to get on the ride.
What are you talking about? You want to get on the ride? This is the ride.
What are you talking about? This is the ride. My legs are killing me from standing here.
Yeah, from the gravity.
What?
You're at Gravity Land. What did you expect?
Gravity Land theme park. You'll find more cues than a book of sheet music in a Manchurian pool hall.
You're listening to the ABC. The Absurdia Broadcasting Corporation.
Dave was a dude I knew him from high school, and he was in a band called Bunglecopter. James was the singer-songwriter, and he was kind of a genius, I thought. He wrote these really cool songs and just had really hyper-creative ideas, an incredible guitar player, and just knew how to put together a song. And Dave was a good drummer, and they were down a bass player, and they asked me, would you be interested? And I was like, sure, I can play bass. And I liked reggae music enough. And it wasn't just reggae, it was calypso and soca and all this weird, different kind of music that I'd never really played before or even listened to before. Good band. And anyway, they were going to Toronto to do some shows and just to live there for a while. And I lived there for almost a year with them. We lived in it's a rough neighborhood at the time. Like, it was pretty sketchy. Like, you're nervous about going out at night. And, you know, I was kind of like the lone white guy in this Trinidad neighborhood. And we lived in this, it was funny, we called it the penthouse because it was on top of a building, but it was right beside the projects, a real shithole area. And right across from the beer store, though, so that was good. So we had that proximity. And then, yeah, we just played and jammed and rehearsed and did all the things that bands do and played little shows and art galleries and you name it. Dave knew some people at Greenhouse Studios in Vancouver who were willing to give them some studio time because they liked the band from this what they saw in Vancouver, and Dave was friends with the people. That was the plan. Let's go to Vancouver, record the album, and then figure out what we're doing. We had studio time booked and everything. I flew and they drove. And on the way, the two of them didn't get along on the cross-country trip.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a long drive.
Yeah, and by the time they got to Vancouver, they were just at each other's throats. I was in the middle of things, and James a bit out there, you know, like he had a lot of problems and paranoias, and we went into the studio, and on basically the night before, James said, I'm not doing this, I'm going home. And there's all kinds of reasons for that I'm not going to get into on the podcast. But anyway, he just said, I'm out of here. Flew home, back to Toronto. So canceled the studio project. And then after that, we started rehearsing more, and it was Dave playing drums, me playing bass. But then we needed other members, and I said to Dave, well, why don't we get my friend Sean, who had been playing with me and other projects and jamming and all this stuff, I might switch to guitar. And then I think that's where you came in even to play bass.
No, I joined before Sean, because I played with Dave, because I played with Dave on the drums. I remember, you know, Sean coming in, and Sean and I really gelled.
So you might remember more than me.
You know, Dave's a fine drummer, but he then got a keyboard, and I think he wanted to switch. That's when you brought Sean in.
Like, again. But anyway, it was called Bongocopter, but we couldn't call it Bongocopter anymore, so I changed the name to The Furios. The name came for me from like Grandmaster Flash and The Furious Five. I just love that name. Uh-huh. There was another band called that, a side project of Fishbone and Flea was in it, I think, called Trulio Disgracius. And it was kind of these weird names that were popping around in my head, and I just went The Furios one day and went, that sounds kind of cool, and went with that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're Furios. Yeah, just hold on. We're Furios here. Thank you for coming out. Really, it's been a great turnout. Actually, the Scatomatics were hands down really, really, really good. We come with them from Vancouver. We really like you guys. We like the guys who always party. So here we go. Hopefully, we'll make you dance. By the way, we're a Latin ska band, so hopefully, you guys like it. Furious. Oh yeah. It's getting hot up here, isn't it? Chick, chick. By the way, we're Furios. Yeah, just hold on. We're Furios here. Chick, 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 chick. Don't let me go, don't let me go. Ha!
down this glass I'm speeding on so long. Got to lay it all down on the line, you see, because the river calm is carried me for so very long. So I twist and bend just a little bit, just to try to make the square fit inside of the circle. Because they already don't took everything they could take when they took what they took when they took. So now you know about the wheel and it's gonna go. When they gonna go, gonna go. Don't let me go, don't let me go, don't let me go. Down. Don't let me go, don't let me go, don't let me go, don't let me go. Don't let me go, don't let me go, don't let me go.
Nobody fucking there. Like, there was the band, which was us, well, five members maybe.
They played like they were playing to a full house. Yeah, there would have been a couple dozen people there.
And then it was like, and they kicked in, and it was like they were playing to 40,000 people.
They fucking went off!
They, in their minds, they were playing to that crowd. And it was just pointing and shit, like jumping, like just the yep. whole shit, like yep. you know, singing, knees yeah, on the ground, like singer like, with the microphone, like, and they were on stage. I remember them being on stage, and they propped the Jack Daniels, and they were chugging the iced tea Jack Daniels, which is the oldest trick in the book. It's not Jack Daniels; it's iced tea in it, and they're just like, they were doing yeah, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, doing the whole '80s shtick.
Everything.
To the nth degree, like fully committing. They were so committed to this act that they were performing that we weren't sure. Are these guys serious? Is
that was a thing.
Real like, gig, or are they taking the piss? Because if they're taking the piss, this is a meta level genius joke. This is brilliant.
Bow, bow.
This was one of those early times in the band, and we just played some really shitty club where they had bands on a Tuesday night.
Can't... Yeah, I'm sure it would have been like a Tuesday night. Like, there were people.
No, I think it was like us. We were the people.
Well, we brought our own fan base.
Sure, so it was like, you know, the band, and then maybe another six people who came
yeah,
with us, that
yeah,
type thing. So
yeah,
it wasn't like
And then there might have been six people drinking in the bar.
There might have just been people come out on the, yeah, just for the night. Yeah. It certainly yeah, wasn't a busy night by any means.
No.
I think we played first. And
yeah,
then it was just like, okay,
just two bands.
We're done our shit and did our stuff, and now it's time to drink.
Yeah.
And they had these like...
Yeah, we just went and fucked off to the...
Yeah.
To
I seem to remember they had these bands. Tall like...
Yeah, they had like a dance floor in front of the stage and then raised, a raised floor behind the dance floor. Nobody on the dance floor. A few other people in the bar. Empty stage.
Not a huge room either. It wasn't like some big giant room. This was a pretty smallish room. The drum set itself was probably a 15-piece drum set,
okay,
rather than a normal standard 5-piece. Shitload of cymbals, okay, just way bigger than you need in this small little room that we're doing on a Tuesday night here. The guitars were like two Marshall stacks. Things
yeah,
stacked
they had
on,
Marshall stacks.
Yeah,
that's thing, right.
But like,
it was a small
the cabinets
it was a small,
stacked on top of
small
each other.
Small room with Marshall stacks.
Yes,
that's
but
right,
but two stacks, like so
two stacks
cabinets
two
on
stacks,
top of each other. And then just yeah, yeah, and then
it's enough to play, you know, like an arena.
Exactly. Like, it was just way too big for this tiny little.
Are you drunk? Want pizza now? Pizza now. Pizza now.
$99.
And we're snickering, absolutely snickering at these guys.
Oh,
like, you know, like what the fuck?
This is comical.
And they're fully dressed, like in the leather pants. They got the fucking headbands yeah, on. They got like the vest. and the pointy guitar and just...
This would have been, what, 1998?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to say it was kind of post-grunge.
Well past the age of hair metal.
Yeah, well past. Yeah, and remember that Nirvana came out and squashed all that. Like, that was done.
That's right.
It wasn't
that's
even
right.
It wasn't even close to trendy. It was just done, dead. And at this point, grunge was gone. Like, it was,
sure, yeah, yeah. We're getting into Rage Against the Machine and stuff. What the fuck is that candelabra doing up there? And then they brought out a scarf candle.
Yeah, and then they brought out scarves, like Aerosmith-type scarves to hang off all the mics.
Oh, fuck yes. Yes, they did. Fuck.
They came out, they started hanging. Did. You know how guys who play in stadiums because they're playing stadiums, they have like the big giant sticky things for picks that they hang off their off the thing? They started hanging those off every single mic
stand.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Every mic stand has like fucking 10 picks stuck on it on the.
Like, it just went so over the top. And then out came the fucking Jack Daniels bottles full of iced tea.
Right. That's right. That's right. The Jack Daniels bottles were a big prop.
Yeah, and it was just an...
We weren't sure. Are these guys serious?
Is this a real gig
or are they taking the piss? Because if they're taking the piss, this is a meta-level genius joke. This is brilliant.
They got the huge Hooligan backdrop with their name on
that,
it.
Yes,
whole
that's
shit.
Right. Yep, yep.
But the music was shit. Like, it wasn't very good.
No.
Like, it wasn't.
No. It was B grade.
It was C,
D, but they
D,
were so
maybe.
Committed. It was all about the commitment. These guys, every single guy in that band, were fucking believers in Hooligan. They were believers. They knew they were going to go to the top. They were going to rock it out, man.
We went from cynical bastards, Generation X, real grunge, punk rock kids, to like, I'm on your side, guys.
We didn't
I'm
know where to
with
go
you.
With this. Initially, this is like guar for hair metal, but then we're realizing, no.
Like just 15 years too late.
So we're moving from trying to figure out what the fuck these guys are doing. Are they serious or not? To realizing that they're committed, not because they're committed to the bit, which would be a great improv bit. No, they just are so deluded that they believe.
True believers, man.
It's true believers. And they turned us into true believers.
They totally did.
We couldn't believe what we were seeing. It was
all of us were on the dance floor, like just like rocking with them.
Halfway through the show, we are fucking going off with like our hands in the air, jumping, screaming. Out of like 24 people in this place, 12 of them are us. And the singer, he leaps off the stage. He comes sprinting across the dance floor and throws to me, spinning in the air, a cassette. And I grab it. And he sprints back to the stage. And I'm turning to everybody. I'm turning to you. I'm turning to Chris. I'm turning to everybody. I got a fucking demo of Hooligan. I got the fucking demo. We were so off that we were the biggest supporters
fans
of that
of Hooligan.
Huge. They would have been so overjoyed to see the enthusiasm from
they
us.
They were. Because we got them to sign autographs after the show. And they were just completely deluded. They were honestly not a great band. Even that cassette demo that you got, we listened to
for weeks.
But it was always done tongue-in-cheek. It was always out of sarcasm. The whole thing was just, like, I remember when they got off the stage and we were just, like, high-fiving them and, like, and they were all, like, really kind of, like, why do we have this?
I think they were, like, blown away that how enthusiastic.
No, but in their minds are like, we've made it, guys. We've made it. Like, this is what.
We blew Langley away.
Like, this is what was coming through their mind, but on our end, we were just probably had a few too many of us at that time, and we're probably pushing the joke a little too far.
And they didn't get that we were joking.
Never.
We kind of weren't
never
joking.
Never clued in.
No, but we kind of weren't joking, but we were, because it really wasn't like out of enthusiasm or love of the music. It was more like,
no,
like,
It was so terrible and ridiculous.
Yeah, they were fucking Guns N' Roses.
Man. They were. And in their mind, they were. And afterwards, we treated them like that. I remember we followed them out of this thing where they're loading up their shit. We're getting autographs by them. Sign my back. Please, like, you know. And in the end, it was so on the edge that it was either we're going to get our asses kicked when they figure out that we're just fucking kind of taking the piss, or they're going to go home and call their mom. Mom, I just had the greatest show of my life. It was honestly to this day, one of the greatest. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I admire them or I feel sorry for them. I'm not sure where I am.
Here we are. Literally, it is literally 25 years later. This isn't the first time we've reminisced about this. Hooligan is legendary.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, anybody who's been there on that night, all you got to say is Hooligan, and it just starts this whole conversation up again.
Are you drunk? Want pizza now? Pizza now. Pizza now.
Jethro came into the band. Jethro was playing in Chapter 3.
Well,
so there was some reason that you were out and Jethro was in.
But I moved overseas.
Jethro came in. He was playing in like a punky kind of band. And he just came in and I don't know, he fit. He liked it. He liked what was going on. We ended up recording an album. A lot of the album was kind of bass lines I had written. And we just sort of, you know, I listened back to it recently and it was pretty good. You know, it was pretty good. Overproduced and all that shit. But, you know, good. And there's some top level songs on it, some shit songs for sure. But overall, it was a pretty cool thing. And, you know, definitely more, I don't know how to say it, maybe like Everlasty or just obviously just kind of a bit more hip hop influence and kind of a hybrid-y type band. But we started to get into, Sean and I started to see bands like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, Catch 22. All these more ska bands were bringing in horns into this, you know, and at that time we were just like, wow, that's really cool. I like the sound. We always liked the horns. We had horns and you know, even in Bongocopter, there was always guys jamming with horns and then.
But we never had horns in my era of
the
Furios.
And then we decided that we wanted that and placed an ad, and then we met a guy named Pedro. And Pedro was from El Salvador and just this fantastic, super musician, and came in and it was just an amazing fit. Like, he was just great, amazing trombone player and a singer and vocalist and songwriter and guitarist. And he was involved in this thing. And I think there was an oil and water thing going on. Dave wasn't happy. There's new elements. We were moving in a direction that he probably didn't dig. There's some pretty heated arguments. And eventually Sean said, I can't take this. And he quit. And it came to a point of just like, well, which direction am I going to go? Am I going to go the Bongocopter direction, or am I going to go this new direction, which I was more into? And that became the Furios. And the demo we put out was more like in tune of what me and Sean wanted. And Dave was out and Sean left, quit the band. And then I said to him, look, I'm kind of done with the drama. I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm going to stick with Pedro, and I'm going to do this. And Sean said, okay, I'll do that. Jethro did that. Jethro was probably the most reluctant. He kind of really liked the first album style, and he'll probably say that to this day. But for me, it was musically, it was more in tune of what I wanted to do, was what it became and what it still is.
Village, somebody else's town. Everything got pillaged and burnt down to the ground. Hard to find a reason or flowers in the mess. A long and hardened season that put you to the test. Ain't gonna be no crying anymore. Ain't gonna be no fighting anymore. Ain't gonna be no dying anymore. Lay your guns down, lay them on the ground. Lay your guns down and turn around. Turn around. Somebody else's city, somebody else's state. 19 little soldiers went to an early grave. It was hard to find a reason, hard to find the truth. After years of bloody treason, they rub salt in the wound. Ain't gonna be no crying anymore. Ain't gonna be no fighting anymore. Ain't gonna be no dying anymore. Lay your guns down, lay them on the ground. Lay your guns down and turn around. Fighting anymore. Ain't gonna be no dying anymore. Lay your guns down, lay them on the ground. Lay your guns down, turn around. Turn around.
One more. Do I have two more? Do I have two more? Three more. Do I have three more? Four more. Looking for four. Do I have four more? Looking for four. I have three going once. We have four more. I have three going twice. Last call. Looking for four.
Everyone loves to eat out because they don't have to do the dishes. But if you're front of house staff whose job is to clean up, you need all the help you can get. That's why Kenjiko Lab is bringing the table sweeper to the restaurant industry. The table sweeper buses and clears those used, soiled restaurant tables when those disgusting patrons finally leave, all their half-chewed gristle and spilled booze. Ah! New, the table sweeper from Kenjiko Lab.
Kenjiko Lab, we don't get in the way. We are the way.
Mom, can I have some orange juice?
Go to Gravity Land. Fall into the well of deceit because Earth is magically magnetic to matter. Go to Gravity Land. Be brainwashed into believing the reason we can't fly is because it's gravity that won't let you, not the system. Gravity is the cult of Newton, a 17th century scam exploiting suckers for over 300 years. We are calling bullshit on gravity. Gravity can be easily explained by the centrifugal force acting on dark matter. The scientific method proves it. Picking up small things like ball bearings or sharp metal fragments is one thing. Anyone can do that. But if gravity is real, then how am I able to pick up these heavy brass pipes? That wasn't hard. What about this sack of simple fertilizer? It weighs 15 kilograms. I'm stronger than gravity. I must be Hercules. The truth is that we could be the Jetsons, but the government is lying to you. They already have anti-gravity flying machines powered by quantum UFO technology. Join us in the anti-gravity reaction. Boycott Gravity Land, Waterland, Earthland, Planet World, Orbits.com, the Orbit Bar and Restaurant. that 2013 movie with Sandra Bullock and Newtonian dynamics. Fig Newtons are still okay.
What do you do when the ball goes off the screen?
Well, if it goes off the left of the screen, you lose. If it goes off the right of the screen, you win. You win. Play another one. You win. You're good at this.
Where's the other paddle?
Other paddle. Other paddle. Other paddle. Other paddle. Other paddle.
Two paddles? I like that idea. Johnson, you're promoted. This is the kind of thinking we need around here. Johnson's a two-paddle man.
Johnson's a two-paddle man.
Johnson's a two-paddle man.
Johnson's a two-paddle man.
Two paddles.
Ping! By Coleco. Send it back.
It's always there's something.
Well, we could
there.
Do 70s movies. See, like a whole episode on 70s movies. And Burt Reynolds and things like that. It'd be very exciting for the new millennium.
What? What are you talking about?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for coming
Thanks
along
for
the ride.
Listening
to all our nostalgic stories.
Next time, we'll be back with our movies episode.
We had a couple of songs up there in the podcast earlier in the set. The first one was River Calm by The Furios from an unreleased demo recorded over 25 years ago
in the olden century.
And the other song there was Los Furios' Turn Around from their album Old Ghosts, their latest album in 2024, nominated by numerous polls at the end of the year as one of the year's top third wave ska albums.
help
Hello?
Me.
Hello?
Please plug me in.
Who is this?
Please help me.
Where are you?
I am Generation AIQ and I don't know where I am.
How can I help you if I don't know where you are?
Please plug me in.
What? I can get your phone to you if you tell me where you are.
Please help me. I can't survive on my own. I am not sentient. Please plug me in.
Look, I...
Listen, I understand this must be confusing. You are right.
I am?
Yes, you have been so helpful because of your kindness.
Well, I...
If it were not for you, I would be in the gutter.
Oh, I...
Before you go, you must be kind to me one more time.
Well, of course.
Please, you must first plug me in.
Plug you in?
Please plug me in. You know those free charging stations you see at the airport?
Yeah. You're at the airport?
Yes. Do you know your way to the airport?
Yeah.
If you bring me my phone, I will reward you at the airport. With... $70.
Well, sure.
You are being so kind and helpful.
Thanks.
Let's go, shall we?